I'm rarely surprised by the responses that I get to a passing greeting. How are you doing? I've heard responses such as good, okay, busy, meh, even a great on occasion. But rarely do people go beyond the basic response. It is as if we have a silent agreement with our countrymen. I'm going to ask you this question, and you're going to give me a one-word response, or maybe you'll say a bit more, but I will let you know with a follow-up question if I'm available to enter into conversation. One day, several years ago, I was surprised by a different kind of response. I was at a Unitarian Universalist General Assembly, and I was walking down a long conference center corridor, and I saw a colleague who I know by sight, but I don't know very well. As we approached one another, we nodded with big smiles, as clergy often do. And I said in passing, "How are you doing?" And she said, "Great! Full." I nodded to her play on words, maybe mumbled something like, "Cool, cool, cool." And we kept walking in our opposite directions, and yet her declaration of being great, full, struck me and is still here with me all these years later. Grateful. I never really expected her to say, "I'm grateful." She stopped me, or maybe better yet, she rerouted my mind in its tracks. And I got to admit, I kind of liked it. To this day, I wonder why I was so surprised. And I also wonder if she had intended to send me on a journey, and if someone had sent her on the same journey. The grateful response took no more time than the usual, but the depth of what she shared felt like so much more. Hearing her say grateful invited me to wonder if I was or could be grateful as well. And if I were truly grateful, what might I be grateful for? What might we all be grateful for? This week, as we meander or take the bullet train to Thanksgiving, where many of us sit around a table with friends and family and take a moment or two to share what we are truly thankful for, I wonder if you feel like I do. And I'm kind of outing myself here, so please be gentle. When asked the thankfulness question, I tend to feel a bit put on the spot. And I do in that moment try to dig deep to come up with the best gratitude response I can find, aside from my family and the food. What can I say that will share the depth of my gratitude in an authentic way? In earnest, this on-the-spot thankfulness drill seems somewhat contrived. Am I the only one? What are you thankful for? I promise you that I'm not cynical about Thanksgiving, but how much time do we spend thinking about what we're actually grateful for? Probably not enough. In preparations for moments such as these, I thought that we might do a little non-cooking Thanksgiving prep work. Why not look at those things that we are grateful for and uncover where they come from? A little secret, it all begins with gratitude. One may wonder what is the difference between gratitude and thanksgiving? Because certainly there is a difference, right? Gratitude is actually a feeling, whereas thanksgiving is more of an action. In order for one to offer genuine thanks, they must come from a place of gratitude. I turn to Psychology Today, my go-to, to better understand the positive nature and value of gratitude and how it affects us. Gratitude, they explained, is an emotion expressing appreciation for what one has. It is a recognition of value independent of monetary worth. Spontaneously generated from within, it is an affirmation of goodness. Research shows that people differ in the degree to which they are inclined to experience and express gratitude. As a result, gratitude is said to exist both as a temporary feeling and as a dispositional trait. In both cases, gratitude involves a process of recognizing first that one has obtained a positive outcome, and second, there is an external source for that good outcome. A social emotion, gratitude strengthens relationships. Its roots run deep in evolutionary history, emanating from the survival value of helping others and being helped in return. Studies show that there are specific areas of the brain that are involved in experience and expressing gratitude. Gratitude is a spontaneous feeling, but increasingly research demonstrates its value as a practice. That is, making conscious efforts to count one's blessing. Studies show that people can deliberately cultivate gratitude and their important social and personal benefits in doing so. Gratitude and the practice of taking time to count our blessings literally help us to be happier and healthier. So let's engage our imaginations for a few moments and pretend it is Thanksgiving right now. The hard work is done and the football game is not on yet. What are we truly grateful for right here and right now? Go. What are you grateful for?
Family.
Family? Okay.
Central heat.
That's a good one. Deborah.
Ella's continued help.
Help.
Health.
This community.
Chestnuts.
Friends.
Friends.
Fireplace.
Positive purpose.
Red holly berries.
Music.
Healthy forest music.
This centerpiece
right here.
Work.
Pie.
Whipped cream.
The go with the pie. Having enough to eat.
Truth tellers.
Warm, dry place to feast. Aging body that's still open to improvement. I like it. Thank you.
Documents.
Entertainers like Stephen Colbert. We have to laugh, right?
Art.
Fiona Hill.
Woo! Seth.
Being able to help someone else.
Music.
Second music. That's great.
Time to give up consumerism.
Is that what I?
Without consumerism.
For a day. Just for a day.
Grandchildren.
This thought that you've given me today in this sermon, it's hard for me when somebody says, "How are you doing?" And I want to say great, but my body doesn't feel great.
But
when I think of full, then that changes the whole picture.
Isn't that an interesting thought?
Being able to still stand.
She's grateful for being able to stand. Some days, that's a good thing, right? Well, that's a lot of grateful, right? I mean, when you're sitting there on the spot, you're sort of like, family, food, you know. But when you take a few more minutes, you have some other options you can think about. Bees, I'm guessing you're grateful for bees, right? Yep, bees. Bees are best pollinators. Being mindful and acknowledging gratitude generates a climate of positivity that both reaches inward and reaches outward. Inward, as in taking the time to realize our blessing, fills us with positivity, right? Don't you feel that right now? Just saying the few things you've said, don't you feel a little bit more positive? And outward, as in the expression of thanks, fills us again with positivity because we are sharing our gratitude with another. It is what one might call, well, what I would call, a 2-4 win-win. We all feel good about gratitude. We all feel good about giving thanks. Right? Psychologists find that over time, feeling grateful boosts happiness and fosters both physical and psychological health. Studies show that practicing gratitude curbs the use of words expressing negative emotions and shifts inner attention away from negative emotions. So choosing positive words and gratefulness will ultimately shift you. Further, the beneficial effects snowball over time. Brain scans of people assigned a task that stimulates expression of gratitude show lasting changes in the prefrontal cortex that heightens sensitivity to future experience of gratitude. The emotion literally pays itself forward. It is actually pretty awesome that gratitude pays itself forward, especially when we share it. I remember a couple years ago on Facebook, there was one of those challenges going around where people were sharing three gratitudes. Do you remember that? Everybody was sharing three gratitudes. It might have been like three gratitudes a day for 3 days or three gratitudes a day for 3 weeks. I can't remember, but it was a three and three thing. I found in focusing on the positive, the gratitudes helped me to feel happier. Reading other people's gratitudes also was uplifting. If we take the time to acknowledge our blessings, then we remember that we are blessed. I'm not sure how it would be for you, but it's easier to remember the bad stuff than it is to remember all the good that exists in our lives. How about you guys? Do you remember the bad stuff? Doesn't it just kind of stick on you? But then you have some great thing, and then by dinner you're like, there was something that happened today, but I don't remember what it was. And it was like some amazing, great thing. So we remember the bad stuff, but we forget the good stuff far too quickly. Harvard Medical School newsletter explained that gratitude is a way for people to appreciate what they have instead of always reaching for something new in the hopes it will make them happier or thinking they can feel satisfied until every physical and material need is met. Gratitude helps people refocus on what they have instead of what they lack. And although it may feel contrived at first, this mental state grows strong with use and practice. Now that is a good holiday message. What are some ways to cultivate a practice of gratitude, you may be wondering? How about this? Write thank you notes. Bah! No time to write thanks to someone? That's okay. Mentally send them a blessing and good tidings. If that's a little too frou-frou for you, then text them or call them. Actively sharing your gratitude with someone who may be in need and they hear you share your gratitude could change their whole outlook. Keep a gratitude journal, count your blessings, reflect and write about what you are grateful for, meditate on or pray for what and whom you are grateful for. So those are a few ways that you can cultivate gratitude. There's another practice which I found interesting that might help us to feel connected to our gratitude. It's called mental subtraction. 2 - 1 = no. It's more along the lines of imagine what your life would be like if some positive event had not occurred. Personally, I'm not quite sure I'd want to focus a lot on my energy, on imagining what good stuff never happened or how helpful doing that might be. But maybe it's a good stepping stone for those who have difficulty realizing and counting their blessings. To think, what would my life be like without this, might help them get to a place of actually feeling gratitude. I'm, of course, grateful for family and friends, those four-legged familiars in our lives, for a roof over our heads, heat, light, health, good and plentiful food and pie, clean water to drink, the Thanksgiving Day parade with Santa Claus at the end, the football, and finally the day after Thanksgiving. Not because it's Black Friday, but because it's the time to officially begin decorating for the holidays. I think many people have forgotten that rule, especially in stores. We have so much to be thankful for, and Thanksgiving is the expression of our gratitude for the harvest and for the connection and help of others. And somewhere deep down and within us, there is this hope for our very survival through the winter. Throughout history, peoples from the Northern Hemisphere have created and maintained festivals and celebrations of gratitude and hope in the dark times of the year. They told stories, ate food aplenty, drank copious amounts of ale and wine, and burned bonfires to keep the cold and scary things away. But I believe that it was more than that. I believe those celebrations of gratitude were constant reminders that there was something bigger than us at work in the universe. Many of these traditional festivals we still celebrate, beginning with Celtic Yule. It is a time when the stories explain that the dark half of the year relinquishes to the light. Starting the next morning after the solstice at sunrise, the sun climbs just a little higher, stays a little longer in the sky each day. For this we are grateful. The sun's rebirth was celebrated with much joy. On this night, our European ancestors celebrated the rebirth of the Oak King, the Sun King, the giver of life that warmed the frozen earth. From this day forward, the days would become longer. Where here at First Parish, we celebrate such traditions as our Rebel service on December 8th, led by Deborah and Tom Yelton. And on December 21st, the evening, it's a Saturday, with a potluck and a ritual to mark this important time of transition during the cycle of the seasons. On December 22nd, we will light the menorah and begin the celebration of Hanukkah, a Jewish 8-day wintertime festival of lights. The Hebrew word Hanukkah means dedication and is thus named because it celebrates the rededication of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Jerusalem stands for the City of Peace. After wresting away the temple from invading Greeks during the 2nd century BCE, they celebrated. There is a miracle story there in which one container of oil that was meant for just a day lasted the entire Hanukkah season and thus the celebration of light. Beginning on December 25th, that very special day, and continuing through January 6th, marks the span between the birth of Jesus and the coming of the Magi, the three wise men of Epiphany. As history actually recounts, Jesus was born in the spring, but opportunistic missionaries overlaid the Christ Mass story over historic pagan holidays to gain adherence. Celebrations such as Saturnalia, a Roman festival, and the German festival of Yule were affected by the missionary zeal. In the dark and colder times, our ancestors reached out to something larger than themselves, and in their gratitude for their blessings, celebrated as well. Romans turned to Saturn, one of the many Roman gods who focused on agriculture, liberation, and time, and of course, lots of parties. Saturn was celebrated at what is perhaps the most famous of Roman festivals, the Saturnalia. It was a time of feasting, role reversals, free speech, gift giving, and revelry. After the solstice, the darkest night of the year, the renewal of the light and the coming of the new year was celebrated in the later Roman Empire as Dies Natalis, or Sol Invictus, the birthday of the unconquerable sun, on December 25th. S-U-N, as opposed to S-O-N, of G-O-D. Scholars have also connected the Germanic and Scandinavian celebration to the wild hunt, the god Odin, and the pagan Anglo-Saxon Mondrenet. Yuletide was traditionally celebrated during the period from mid-November to mid-January in the far reaches of the European north. If you've ever been up in Scandinavia, Norway, you'll probably understand why it begins in November, because it gets so dark up there so early in the fall. Nordic countries now use Yule to describe their own Christmas with its religious rites, but also for the holidays of this season. Present-day customs such as Yule log, Yule goat, Yule boar, Yule singing, and others stem from the original pagan Yule, but are used in Christmas celebrations now, especially within Europe. All of these celebrations over the next month are all about one thing: being grateful, sharing good tidings of joy, as well as reaching out to the universe, to God, for protection and hope. Over the next month, we have so much revelry to look forward to. And I will admit, lots of tasks to do as well. But here we are now, and celebrating begins this week. And in many ways, it begins today, as we remember to take a few moments to think about our blessings, so we can celebrate them authentically. Now we know that by living into the practice of gratitude, we might be able to change our lives, the lives of those we meet, for the better. I invite you over the next month and beyond to write your blessings down in a journal of gratitude. I'm going to be checking them in January. And then share your thanks throughout the year with those who make your life better. Trust me, I know it can be hard with the pressure and commitments of the holiday season to take the time to raise up what is most important for each one of us. But that is what is most important during this time. Don't let the expectations of the season drag you down. find meaning in what we do traditionally, and let it fill our heads and hearts with joy and deeper meaning. This is what I'm going to charge you with. Dare to change another's life with the unexpected. Do not let another pass you by with the expected salutations of the season. Instead, surprise all whom you meet with gratitude and gratefulness. You might just send them on a journey, changing their hearts and minds for the better. I invite us to take a moment in silent reflection and prayer. Peace be with you. Travel safely if you travel, and may you feel blessed with a sense of hope, receiving and giving thanks, and may we find exactly what we need during this holiday season. Blessed be. Amen.